Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
Sofa King. No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
Retard. You say funny things.
I was waiting for it. Stupid silence.
What?
Nothing.
No, you don't like it. I have to leave it in. Let it marinate. The
let
silence.
It mellow.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I had this. I had the Laphroaig.
I feel like.
And it's vast. It's a campfire in your mouth for sure. It's a good one.
Not the biggest fan of Laphroaig.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Take this one home. In a flask. A
just
little
kidding.
Bit at a time.
Just kidding. Not kidding.
So, how's your guys' week?
Busy.
I don't remember it. Honestly, like it just happened so fast for real.
Like more than you normally don't remember it? Or like it,
either, yeah. My temporal displacement is getting worse, or it was just extra busy, but it was bad. It was super flash.
Mine was busy.
Like I feel like we just closed that door and walked back in. It's almost that bad.
Yeah. That's kind of true.
So there's a few like
kinda is,
yeah. There's like a few marked events that if I think about it real hard, I'm like, okay, yeah, like I did this, the gym, this thing, that thing, movies, like the things that happen in the week.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yeah, it's a fucking blur. We have lots of presents here too.
We do. I saw one of the best tweaker moments I've seen in a very long time this week.
Is tweaker a universal term?
I think so.
I think so. The PC term is mythic in American.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That was really good. I don't think
that's what Mike Tyson calls Mexican Americans. Mythic in American.
They get all confused.
I don't know if this guy was on meth though. This guy was like really fucking spun out. Like I think he was on something else, like PCP.
Meth would do that.
Maybe. I don't know this guy, but he was kind of shambling. Like he didn't really have like a full walk on him. He was like kind of in slow motion.
Zombie.
And he was like mid crosswalk, like downtown, like very busy intersection. He was mid crosswalk in a light he shouldn't have been crossing in, and a car like slowed down because he was right in the way, and he reached into his pocket, pulled out a latex glove, put it on his left hand, flipped off the car, took the latex glove off, put it back in his pocket, and finished crossing the
it's
road.
Methyl Jackson with one white glove.
Yeah.
I wanted to applaud him. It was like such a power move. It was like, I immediately thought of like Mick Foley when he would pull Socko out of his pants and like do a finishing move. Like that was this meth guy's finishing move.
I'm just trying to think like maybe he was that much of a germaphobe where he didn't want to acknowledge the car.
I don't know. Yeah.
Like
he had a game plan. And then I'm like instantly wondering like how many uses do you get out of one glove?
Till it pops a hole.
Right. Sure. But how many is that? Does he have a bunch of them? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on how thick the glove was. Was it nitrile? Was it latex? You don't
right.
know.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know these things. But now that you said the
he flipped them off with the gloved hand.
With the gloved hand.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't want to get infected.
But
yeah.
Now that you said the Methyl Jackson thing, like the whole thing has like Smooth Criminal running in the background in my brain. Like when he did it, you heard like the
like the maybe did he have headphones in?
Yeah. Did he finish walking across the crosswalk backwards though? Yeah.
No, he just kept his. His
that would have been good.
Yeah. No, that would have been the fucking hottest shit ever. Yeah.
Dave would have fucking died happy, like right there. I can pull out the gun from my glove box and shoot me in the fucking face.
I'm never gonna see something better than that.
Yeah, you have to stop your life.
But let's just end it. Right, it's all downhill.
Yeah. Tell my family. I love it. Yeah. It's fucking.
It was fucking great, though.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
So, orders of business. Hot
gifts, balls, hot sauce, hot sack. Hot sack this week is Chase Standridge. No offense to you, Chase, but mostly because you're like the only picture.
I think, was that guy? I hadn't really, there was some people on there.
He was the only one with a real picture pose, other than Terry Presley stating the obvious that the selfies are worn out. We know it's played out, but I'm busy as fuck. And for me to get that post up, I got to do the post. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm just hoping
who put
you
that
guys
Terry Presley?
Terry Presley was saying it's kind of worn out. We should go back to like recipes or something. You guys have a better idea. Yes.
He could get a man's name. Like that's kind of that's like a pat name.
Terry?
Yeah. You don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
That is. It could be a boy or a girl. It's true. It's a boy though.
Presley.
Yeah.
Not like Josh Dandruff, our winner.
Josh Dandruff. Who's
Josh Dandruff?
He's our winner.
What's his name?
Nothing close to that. Chase Standridge.
Okay. Yeah. Chris Spaghetti. Yeah.
Palms are sweaty.
nice. Yeah. Wow. That was surprisingly out of tier for you.
Mom's spaghetti. Yeah.
Then again, it is a white rapper. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
That'll work
Eminem
out. So first.
8 Mile.
I don't listen to Eminem.
Okay. Really?
No.
Kim was impressed. We were walking to my son's school and some guy was blasting fucking Eminem. And she was like, I don't know. Something happened. I was like, oh, Eminem. She was like, how do you know that's Eminem? I was like, pretty obvious.
Why are
like,
you angry at me?
Right. Like, why are you mad?
That's
me?
That, yeah.
Because you were out of your tier. I think it scared her. Yeah.
Get back in your tier right now.
It reminded her when she used to date that black guy.
Right. She was probably also mad because she was like, if you're going to take on black habits, it should be downstairs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's true.
No comment. And we got a bunch of gifts. So thanks, Chase, for participating. Send me your address through however you want to.
Chris Facebook, Carlson, Facebook our Messenger. Lucky winner.
Yeah.
Send us
Chris our, Carlson. Yeah. Mom's spaghetti, hot and ready. Yep. What?
Hot sack winner. So if you can decipher who won the hot sack this week, send us your address.
Send us an address.
And we'll get it out to you.
Josh Dandruff, thank you for participating.
Oh, you can take a hot sack.
Yeah.
If you don't like hot sauce, fuck off.
My what the fuck day was it? I don't know what day it was. Mom's forgetting everything.
Show's going good.
Let's go through this.
It's like our first show.
We got some whiskey, and Dave got a present. Brad got a present.
Yeah.
And I did get a present, but it came in the form of computer cables, strange computer cables that are like, you might need this one fucking day. You may never need it, but if you need it, it's...
So they gave you shit they didn't want. I had a closet full of those.
Yeah, they gave me some crazy cables. So, but Dave got...
I got those pop games, like little bobblehead vinyls. I have none. You would think I do because I'm a big fan.
We debated. I was like, he's a nerd. He might have that.
I don't have any of them, but this is from Mike and Samantha Doolin, and it is PB from Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm very stoked.
Yeah.
This is very small batch whiskey.
That's what it says. Very old.
It says
old.
Very
this
old.
Is very small
and this
batch.
Whiskey was also from them.
And it's the Jefferson's
Reserve. Yeah. Now feel that cork when you pull it out. It's a very smooth pull. It's almost sensual.
Brad's noise was so on cue that I was like, was that really the bottle? Oh, wow. I'm going to drink out of this glass.
It's a smooth cork.
And then, Brad, what did you get?
Arrogant Bastard. And I don't know if I said this on air before, but I don't like that beer.
What an arrogant bastard.
You arrogant bastard.
Yeah. All right, we're going to drink this and try it.
A whiskey? Yep.
It's a nice cup.
That's good.
That's very good.
Spicy.
Thank you.
It never gets old. It gets very old.
That one, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
That's like lingering. That's like a profile going on.
It's good. That's
it's still,
really good.
It is it's, still there.
No, it's very.
This is definitely a black man's whiskey.
Why is it a black man's whiskey?
It's the Jefferson's.
It's the wrong Jefferson.
How do you know?
Yeah. Because
I already read this little thing.
It's like fucking
broke off.
He's got wig hair on.
Yeah. It says, like our third president, this bourbon is complex, elegant, and full of sophistication.
Okay, so a black man would never have this whiskey.
That's
a racist motherfucker. So they sent us racist whiskey. What is this? What is this supposed to mean?
Now it's very good. It's very good though. It's very sweet, like in the front of your mouth, and then it's like spicy in the back.
And it's really smooth. Yep. It's very smooth and very small batch. So am I drinking this? Am I getting drunk on the? Hey, I could take this bottle.
I'll share with you.
I could I'm gonna drink it all. I could, and then I'm gonna stuff this bottle into somebody's vagina.
That's one way to do it, sir.
My main man, Ted Bundy.
Yeah, that's, I knew it was.
I have my Brad list over here. Racism and sexism both checked off so far. You got stuff in a bottle in someone's vagina and the Jefferson's black.
Well, no, that was a transition to Ted Bundy.
That's his favorite thing to do.
Yes, it was.
A bottle? Yeah. Not a bottle.
You just grab what
whatever.
You, well, yeah, you got whatever what you have.
You get what you got.
Bedpost, tree limb.
Right, whatever you got.
I mean, if I was going to hit the girl over the head with this bottle, then I would stuff it in her vagina.
He had a pretty good average for showing up unprepared and just fucking utilizing his environment. He was kind of
I think he was like a serial killer survivalist. Like he just made it work.
The Bear Grylls of serial killers.
Yeah.
It's actually Bear Grylls, kind of his, what is it, mentor.
Yeah. Most people don't know that.
Did you know that was the first use of the term serial killer was actually him? That's what I read.
Bear Grylls?
Yes, Bear Grylls.
He just kills animals.
Yeah, that's right.
Not really. Every trap he ever sets never comes up. He ends up fucking like having to eat a grub in a fucking hole. He never catches anything with those snares.
That's what they show you.
Yeah. He, you know, women are walking through the forest getting caught in those traps.
Oh, maybe.
Bear Grylls. Did you see the bear shit apple?
Huh? Bear shit apple.
Oh, he shit the apple out?
And no, a bear ate an apple and shit it out.
Yeah,
and
he dug it
out of the bear shit and ate the apple.
Was the apple whole? Like it was intact? Like
I think it was intact.
I just pictured the Jurassic Park hand in, like the glove into the shit.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
That's like the time Brad puked at a party and it was a whole hot dog. It was crazy.
You had to re-eat it.
Yeah, Brad swallowed the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it was a sword swallowing contest, but all we had was hot dogs.
Right.
I was impressed.
Yeah. So our topic today
can't swallow a dick; it stays attached.
Is swallowing dicks?
If you bite down at the end, right at the base, man.
Yeah,
all right.
That's true.
What are you talking about?
Being on track. Being on track. Come on,
Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
serial killer. So, I actually, when I was getting coffee right before the podcast, several people at the coffee shop asked what I was covering, and when I said Ted Bundy, all of them said, you guys haven't done Ted Bundy?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Like, you haven't looked at our list of shows?
Right.
Should have said that back to him.
Fucking smack him in the face.
No, we did it already, and we're doing it again,
dumbass.
We're
doing it a second time.
We'd get away with that, probably.
Probably could. But I didn't know how long ago Ted Bundy operated. I thought he was a 90s serial killer. I didn't know he was doing his killing in the 70s.
Oh, you're way off.
Yeah, I was way off.
He's driving that brand new Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And by the way, the he had a thing about Volkswagens, and it's like we've had this conversation before at the top of the show. It's like we've got this serial killer checklist, which is remarkably similar to like the mad genius checklist and the
dictator.
The dictator checklist and the cult leader checklist. Mm-hmm. Like they're very similar. There's a lot of overlap, and we've debated.
It's like a tree root, though. Like as it goes down, it starts separating further and further.
Right. And we've debated from time to time which one Brent's going to walk down.
I knew
down.
It. I was fucking silent.
And like the VW, I mean, it wasn't a bus. It wasn't a bus.
Yeah, but the bus, you can fit more bodies in and rape more boys in.
That's with a lot more Farfignugan in the bus.
It's not going to be boys, just so you know.
I don't know. Most serial killers, it's boys. So
only if I got to get through them to get to what I'm after, man.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. He'll go.
He'll get there. So. So Ted Bundy, I kept reading in a lot of things that he confessed to 30 killings,
but never admitted guilt to them.
Right, but
how do you confess and not admit?
Well, but one of the things that I read said that it was confirmed that he killed 36. So I'm guessing there's 6 that he was busted for, and then 30 that he confessed. Is that how that shakes out?
It's really strange because he was even confessing going to the chair. So he's walking.
He was confessing like 30 minutes before his death.
Yeah. Like saying like, I drove her out to the woods and like, you know, like the whole weird voice recording.
Yeah. And so, but experts say, 30 minutes before his death, he was doing it. But a lot of experts think that he killed closer to 100.
I would say that's probably fair.
I think it's probably fair.
Yeah, there's high estimates. There's crazy stuff. Some people speculate that he could have even started killing in his teens, like at age 14.
Right.
There's some correlation of some like 8-year-old little girl.
And there was, but when he was like at the top of his game, there was like a person disappearing once a month.
So, well, yeah. And so this is what happens. I mean, Brent's obviously losing his memory. Ted Bundy could have been the same way.
Oh, that's true.
Could have been losing his memory. Forgot like about. Yeah, he just remembered. Yeah, yeah, remembered 30.
Do
yeah.
I have a memory problem? I don't recall.
No, you're good.
I'm not. I didn't say that.
No. So Ted Bundy was born Theodore Robert Cowell on November 24th, 1946 in Burlington, Vermont, famous for its coat factories. Mm-hmm. And he was born to Eleanor Louise Cowell, who was 22 years old. She was unmarried when she had her son, when she had Ted. And this was like a pretty big deal in 1946.
Yeah, that was a social no-no.
Huge social no-no. Like, I mean, to be honest, like my mom actually, like I mean, I don't even know, like full on adulthood, like when I was in my mid 30s, she confessed that we had a brother from the 1950s that she had in an unmarried girl thing when she was 18. And that was like in the 50s.
That was a
and
brother
like,
from another brother.
Right.
Though.
That's mm-hmm. right. No, this is a white guy.
Ooh, I wasn't.
He lives, yeah. Huh. But so, I mean, and this was like a decade before that. So, I mean, like if you were preggers and not married and et cetera, like that was a huge fucking scandal in the 40s. So she ends up having this child at a home for unmarried mothers. And as soon as they have the baby, she takes him home and shit's fucked up like right away. How's the beer?
It tastes like weed, honestly. Yeah. I heard rumor has it. Super hoppy beer just tastes like weed to me every time.
It has a weed aftertaste. Yeah. It has a marijuana taste.
I'm sure I'm not the only person to think that in the world.
I'm sure you're not.
No.
So the reason it gets extra fucked up is because his mom, Louise, brings him home to her parents. She's only 22, remember? And he's raised for the first several years of his life believing that his grandparents are his parents and that his mother is his older sister.
Right. Mm. Which he deflects and tries to, creepy. You know, blame a lot of his problems on that.
He blames a lot of his problems on that and on pornography. Yeah.
He blames a lot of stuff, but then also he tried to say that his childhood was normal, like that he had a normal childhood.
Well, I think because I saw some of his interviews and he was talking about how normal his childhood was, and I think it was after this because he was talking about his brothers and sisters and all that stuff. So I think he was talking about his childhood because after they lived there for a couple of years, his mom got married to a Bundy. I forget his name.
Johnny something Bundy.
And at that point they had multiple kids, et cetera. So I think that was where he says his life was fairly normal. But at this point
it was Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Johnny Culpepper. Bundy.
Great name.
Yeah. Al Bundy. Perfect. Yeah.
But the thing is, did you read much about his grandparents?
Peg. Yeah.
Peg Bundy.
Just that his grandfather was like abusive.
Yeah, his grandfather was abusive. He was like a tyrant and a bully. He was a bigot. He hated blacks, Italians, Catholics, and Jews. He would beat his wife. He would beat their dog. He would swing neighborhood cats around by their tail.
But then what's he spoke lovingly of his grandparents, though. Like when he speaks about them, he speaks lovingly of them, even though that was his example.
Well, yeah, because his grandpa would come and fucking swing him around by his tail.
And one thing that I read said that he threw, I guess, Ted's aunt, Louise's sister, down the stairs in a fit of rage one time. I read that, like in one source it said, and I don't know, that this might have been too much. I didn't read it anywhere else, but he would speak to unseen presences.
I didn't come across
around
that.
Around the house. I don't know if that was. And the thing, like, this leads to one thing that I started to realize as I was digging deeper into the research on Ted Bundy. It's full of errors and contradictions, and it's full of errors and contradictions from official biographers who interviewed him.
Yeah, because
he would tell one person one thing, and then he would tell somebody else something completely fucking different. Yeah. And it was like he was fictionalizing his own background. And so it's like, when you say that, he probably said that in some biography about his grandfather, but he didn't say it to anybody else, so you can't really confirm it. Except, so it's really weird. I think he became like a glory hound, and he started to crave the attention, and he was like getting as many people to interview him as possible.
He would kind of turn into whatever people wanted him to. Mm-hmm. He would mold very well.
Yeah.
I think
shapeshifter.
Yeah. I think he just had an issue with, I mean, just like a pathological liar. You know what I mean? Like he would just make up stories. A lot of it was like he created a story about why he would kill, because he said people wouldn't understand that he just wanted to do it.
Right.
So he had to make up like, and they said a lot of serial killers do it, that there's an entity talking to them, or, you know what I mean? Something in their head, or, you know, they blame it on some other source as far as what made them do it.
Right.
But really, he planned it.
I read a thing where he said it was like their fault because they would, if they look like they were afraid, it said, I've known people to radiate vulnerability. He wrote it in a letter in 1977. He said the facial expressions say, I'm afraid of you. And these people invite abuse by expecting to be hurt. They do subtly encourage it. He was like, they're asking for it. Look how afraid they are.
Right.
Which so like, that's kind of funny because that goes into our Friday's episode also, which I won't mention it, but that's like a vulnerability thing of women.
Right.
So it's kind of a strange.
You would prey on them. Yeah. For the low self-esteem. Yeah. Right? And you can manipulate them.
Yeah.
And then one other thing about the grandparents, and again, I only read this in one source and I didn't read it anywhere else, was it said that his grandmother periodically underwent electroconvulsive therapy for depression.
Yeah, I found that. Yeah.
And it's like, that's like, it's not surprising if you have a fucking crazy, you know, bigot beating husband.
I watched the Shark Tank. Well, it was like clips of like the best of and the worst of Shark Tank. Uh-huh. And one of the things that a guy was pitching was a shock watch. And it was to keep you from biting your nails and doing weird behaviors. But you literally had to click your watch if you're doing like, oh, I'm biting my nails. Click, click. Like you'd have to touch it. But at the end of that episode, he gets offered money from Kevin, who's like the bald guy in the middle, who's kind of the biggest dick.
Don't know.
And he was like, I'll take an offer from anyone but Kevin. And the fucking shark was all, fuck you, get the fuck out of here. I've never seen him get crazy like that. And like lost his cool and started screaming at the guy. And he left getting screamed, fuck, get the fuck out of here by the sharks. It's kind of cool. But it was a shock therapy that you impose on yourself.
Self-shock.
Stop biting your nails.
I don't know how effective that's going
to
be.
I got kind of scared watching a documentary on this because as soon as it started, when Ted Bundy started out, he was a peeping Tom.
Right.
And I started watching it and I was like, oh no, is this what it's going to happen to me? Like,
with the blinds.
Yeah, because you just take it too far. Like one time he just took it too far.
He said that softcore porn was a gateway to hardcore porn, which was a gateway to
that was a lie,
more aggressive sex.
That was a lie though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they didn't find any porn in his house. He just said that in the interview with the Reverend because they were going after porn. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, he said that it didn't cause him to kill. But then towards the end, the guy molded
it.
He started saying like, porn caused me to do it.
He goes into that a lot in his final interview that they ever record. And he says that every serial killer and murderer he's met in the pen only killed because they were addicted to pornography. Yeah.
But the problem with that is though, that Reverend that conducted the interview was against porn and anti-porn guy. And he was feeding him. Yeah, he was looking for the poster boy. And Ted Bundy is the glory whore.
Right.
So he just went in and said what he wanted to say.
You have to have those tendencies anyway. Like if he saw violent porn for the first time and was turned on, he was turned on the first time he saw it.
They said
he already liked it.
They said it was the, when he first started killing, supposedly, like if he started killing earlier, Playboy was barely introduced. So there was no hardcore porn.
At one point in time when he was young, he was digging through garbage cans in the neighborhood, allegedly like for multiple reasons. Some people said it was to try to find nude photos. I was like, what is your fucking chance on that? Digging through everyone's garbage can.
He's trying to find shit.
The fact of the matter is though, like if you were a fucking kid in the 70s.
That shit sucked though. Yeah, there's
nowhere to get porn. Like there were probably millions of kids in America that were looking in dumpsters. monsters hoping someone threw a fucking Playboy away. Like, it's the seven, like, there's no way for a kid to get porn.
It got to the point that he was even said he was looking for comic books, but it said something about he would be looking for true crime stories or anything that would have pictures that were or illustrations that were illustrating dead bodies or aggressive sexual behaviors in the crime.
Yeah, they said that that was a huge thing back then. Yeah. Even the cover had like a damsel in distress with like being choked by like some
it makes
dark
me wonder,
man
some
in
of
the
our
background.
Fans, we better watch out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're all strange because even at
smoothly say
even
that.
At they're all strange. Even at Ted Bundy's trial, he had like groves of women.
Yeah.
Coming
at the
in.
Height of it in the last few months before his execution, he was receiving 200 love letters per day.
Jesus, what's wrong
of
with
women
people?
That said they loved him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he would just kill them.
And that,
he was
and
getting sex in prison. Like he was paying off the guards. Yeah. And there was one chick that was showing up and they would just like bang by the candy machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle of visitation with fucking everyone.
Skittles everywhere.
So, like, oh yeah.
Taste the rainbow.
I mean, you know, and everybody wants to say, you know, women aren't crazy. You know, women, everybody's
but 200 of them a day. What could have been the same ladies sending letters
every
day?
I
think it was one of every woman in America.
Yeah. I don't know if that was the key. I think that would have been. I don't think the math adds up.
Well, I'm not saying every day. I'm saying, you know, like just spread out, you know, throughout the years.
I still don't think the math adds up.
Well, you're an English teacher, Dave. Just stick to English.
You're right. I'll stick with commas. and then again, we start to see him sort. It's not the usual crazy mother, like doting over the serial killer checkbox being ticked. Like that's the typical thing. Right. I didn't really see that.
The problem is you don't know the true real history. Like it's,
but, and his mom until the day he died insisted that he was innocent.
Well, she didn't
I mean, apparently the day before he was killed, he told her over the phone, like I did it. And that was the first time that
they said he was really concerned about his family and like them understanding why he did what he did.
Tell my family I love them.
Something like that.
So,
but again, in the ticking the boxes thing, like there was a history of him being violent towards animals, which he seems like he learned from his grandfather.
Did you see the thing about his aunt taking a nap?
No. Oh yeah, I did. Go for it.
At age three. Yeah. His aunt was recalled an instance. They said he was strange even as a child with weird behavior. And that one time she took a nap and she woke up and all of the knives from the kitchen were around her, like laid around
her.
And she woke up and he's three and he was standing at the end of the bed, just fucking smiling at her while she was surrounded by knives when he was 3 years old.
So I can tell you right now, it wasn't hardcore porn.
Yeah.
No, no.
That's fucking crazy.
So, and again, this shows the clash here. So allegedly he didn't know about his grandparents being his parents for a very long time, like until adulthood. And again, there were three accounts that I read because he gave three different accounts to three different biographers. In one account, he said that he, when he was like a late teen, he found his birth certificate among family papers and realized the truth. In another story, he said that his cousin showed him the birth certificate and started mocking him and calling him bastard. And then in another one, he said that he saw the birth records at a courthouse in Vermont.
I saw that one.
So like all three were things that he had confessed to. So it's like, who fucking knows how he learned this?
Yeah.
The only through line is that he saw the document, but under what circumstances, you can't really say. But so in 1951, his mom moves to Tacoma, Washington, and that's where she marries Al Bundy, and they have several children together. They end up having four other kids, so that's like a five family sort of, you know, five kid working class family. Al, Peggy.
You say it's kind of like married with children.
Yeah, she was married with children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would never accept a stepfather. He said that he was not that bright and he didn't make very much money.
Yeah, so he worked in a shoe store.
They would try to.
He had a talking dog.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing. It all makes sense now.
I forgot about the talking dog thing.
It was like the worst part of the fucking show.
Well, it's just supposed to be his imagination, though, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I'm not that big of a married with children scholar.
Apparently.
So, then again, as a teenager, he would peek in people's windows. He was also a chronic shoplifter. So much as Brad got worried, I got worried. But apparently he felt that stealing gave him power, taking things that didn't belong to him. And a lot of people think this might feed into his serial killer pathology because he was taking people.
He was actually like arrested twice in high school for theft, but his record was expunged when he turned 18. I guess that was just common practice. You turned 18, they clean slate.
We forgive you. Yeah. Like, go ahead. So he ends up being a fairly good student. He goes to college. He goes to the University of Washington, and he falls in love with a woman named Stephanie Brooks, and was apparently like head over heels with her. She was like his first love ever, and like set the stage for bad things.
I can see why her parents were the ones that invented Brookies.
I don't know what Brookies is. Brookies
is. Brownies and cookies cooked together.
That's from what's that restaurant?
You make them.
I know, but it's from a restaurant.
No, that's a bazooki.
The fuck's that one?
Yeah, you're right. That is a bazooki.
Yeah.
I'll think of it.
It's a brookie. You can get them at, you can buy them. Ghirardelli's makes them. Ghirardelli's.
I was gonna say, is it Jared? Don't want to be the asshole over here. Just correcting everything that comes out of your mouth.
I told my fiance because she says Ghirardelli's, and so I told, I don't know what I was thinking, but I don't think most of the time. But we were like with her family, and it was funny because I was laughing, and I was like, oh yeah, she pronounces Ghirardelli's Ghirardelli's, and she just like she pronounces chocolate cocklet, and it was her grandma and grandpa. And I was like, oh, fuck, that came out way wrong.
Yeah. That's why she calls me White Cocklet.
Yeah.
So in 1978, she breaks up with Ted, and apparently he like throws him into a spiral of depression.
She went missing 3 years later.
And, well, actually a couple of years later, and then, again, this gets into stuff that he said, later, because later on, he ended up meeting her as he was part of like a political campaign for, I forget who, some Republican governor candidate or something.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. But he got really into this campaign for Abraham Lincoln, and he ended up meeting her, and like he rekindled the relationship and got her like all the way to the point where like she was thinking about marrying him.
It was Nelson Rockefeller, apparently. I think that's the campaign that he worked on.
I don't think it was.
Why are you coming here bringing in false information?
Okay, all right. Abraham Lincoln.
It was.
He volunteered at Seattle office of Nelson Rockefeller's presidential campaign. Yeah.
God damn.
He also studied Chinese in 1966. Did you say that?
No.
He originally went to college to study Chinese, which that's fucking weird.
That is weird. Yeah. That's very weird. But anyway, so he ends up getting back together with her, getting her all the way to a proposal just so he can dump her and hang up on her and never talk to her again. Yes. So he'd get revenge for the fact that she dumped him.
That holds a fucking grudge. Yeah.
But the thing is, like,
after she sucked his white cock.
Like, exactly. Her appearance, the way she dressed, her social class, the age that she was, the fact that she was a college student at the time, like that was his target demographic of people that he would kill. They even had the same, they had dark hair that they parted down the middle.
Something about slacks and blue jeans too.
Yeah, like it was his, like she was
those
like
were her the, favorite jeans.
She was the prototypical version of a woman that he was killing.
Damn, so he like, was even heartbroken.
Even down to the hair.
He was
even
heartbroken, so he killed over 100 different women.
That's right.
Wow.
Unless he started killing before this, because some people think he was killing before this, but all of the known cases that
if he was killing before
killed,
this, he would have killed her. You know what I mean?
Like, you would think, unless the love was
fighting
something
it still. Yeah, no, still
the love was so good that he fucking broke
that's
up with her at a proposal. Like,
that's
I mean,
true.
Come on.
But no, and if you look at, you can look at like pictures of all the victims, and they are white. They tend to have, they all have dark hair. Most of them have the hair parted down the middle. Like, it's like,
that was
it's
the '70s.
I think then he got,
well, he had a steady girlfriend through most of the murders. Yeah. I can't recall her name.
Lisa.
You just throw names on. Is it really Lisa? Abraham Lincoln, Al Bundy,
I've got it
Lisa.
Here.
Lisa, Angela, okay. Pamela, Renee.
Elizabeth Klopfer.
You from around the way.
Lisa. Elizabeth.
Yeah. All right. There we go. That works.
Liz, I guess, huh? Lisa for short.
Elizabeth Klopfer was her name.
I'd have killed her because of her last name.
It's because you Klopfer, you brought her.
Yeah.
What?
What?
No idea what the fuck.
So, So his starting murders,
you fought for, you brought him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess jokes don't have to be funny.
I like my clopper. Like I like my women.
I was like trying to make it a verb. I was like, are you clopping fur? Like you clop? Clop is a verb.
I guess jokes don't have to be funny to be funny. I think
they just can't come from Brent.
See, I can. No, see, I can do
this. I think that's a new tagline for the show.
We don't have to be funny to be funny, guys.
Were they pretending to be stupid? What was the guy's review?
I don't know. Pretending to be stupid, or we are stupid, or
it's one of the two. To be sure,
one of the two. Yeah.
So he starts killing, and there's it's hard to say when he started killing. No one's exactly sure. One of the first people, and this was the awkward and disturbing transition at the very beginning of the show into Ted Bundy, was a woman named Karen Sparks, and.
He was
apparently
just peeping. He was peeping and jacking,
and he saw her sleeping, snuck into the house, beat her senseless with a metal rod that he took from the bed frame.
Yeah.
Beat her so bad that she was in a coma for 10 days before she woke back up because her brain was swollen, et cetera. And then sexually assaulted her either with the same rod or a metal speculum.
Whatever speculum.
They're not
is,
sure.
Yeah,
what, it's a medical device.
Check to see if the bed rod had vag on it. All they had to do.
I don't know what they did. But it caused extensive internal injuries, and she survived but had permanent disabilities from the assault. Yeah. And that was one of the first known cases.
Mental issues, too.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I read
she could only have sex with bedposts after that.
Yeah.
Or really.
And just in bed.
That changes bed knobs and broomsticks quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I read that his first kidnapping was in 1969, and by his own admission, he didn't kill until 1971. But once again, his stories are shaky.
Right.
I just think he had a bad memory. I think he killed so many people.
He doesn't have a fucking remember.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Or he was just full of horseshit the whole time he was confessing things. But
he just confessed to murders that never happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Killed her over here.
But less than a month later, after that Karen Sparks beating on February 1st, he broke into the basement.
I'm sure she deserved it, though. She had to have done something.
I don't think sleep. But a woman named Lydia Ann Healy, who was an undergraduate who did like a morning radio weather report, he beat her unconscious, dressed her in blue jeans and a white blouse and boots,
and carried her off.
And she was never heard from again.
Yeah, and that's understandable. Everybody knows
if I become a serial killer, I'm going to do it in a Bigfoot outfit.
Yeah. That's already happening.
Dave's going to do it in a bigger Bigfoot outfit. Yeah. It'll look realistic.
Yeah, bigger and biggest.
Yeah. Biggest foot. Yeah, I am biggest foot.
Yeah. Everybody hates the weather lady, though. She's annoying. She deserved that.
Perhaps.
Does no one ever correlate Chewbacca and Big Wolf? Like, how's Chewbacca?
Big Wolf?
I said Big Wolf.
Yes.
What's Big Wolf?
I don't know. But I know what big wolves are.
Look at you. V's and F's. Bigfoot and Chewbacca. I did say Big Wolf.
You mean Big
Wolf? You totally said Big Wolf.
Yeah,
you said Big Wolf.
I heard it. Yeah, now I hear it. I don't know what happened there.
I'm glad.
I want to say Bigfoot and Chewbacca, though. Like,
remember that you said that, though? I know you hear it now.
I barely remember that 30 seconds ago, to be honest. I'm in the now. I'm living in the now.
That's good.
Yeah.
God damn you guys. Just answer my question. Has that correlation ever happened?
That was a text inside joke. Nobody's going to get that, but barely.
Barely.
You did barely do that right now.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's ever connected Bigfoot and Big Wolf now.
No.
Fuck you guys. Well, you know what? It's probably Big Bad
Wolf.
Maybe Big Bad Wolf is what was coming.
You know what they have in common, though? They're both big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. God damn it. I'm going to make Little Red Riding Hood and Chewbacca. Like
Chewbacca? We were talking about Big Wolf.
I know. Big Bad Wolf. Chewbacca, yeah. Little Red Riding Hood, Big Bad Wolf. See the 7 degrees of what got fucked up here?
There was also Big Wolffoot, who was the famous 70s blues player.
Yeah, well, Tyler Mott gets me. He's got my back.
And Foot Big Wolf.
Yeah. He was an Indian chief.
Yeah. Right. What about Sitting Foot?
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
I'm leaving.
So long about this time, this is when a student a month starts to disappear. Because he starts to really ramp up his
that's part of his
rampage.
Student of the Month campaign.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And he, so apparently, so his MO, right, the way that he would do it, he tended to, we already talked about the type of person he was after.
Did you mention he worked for a suicide hotline for a little while?
No, I didn't mention that.
That was 1971. That's the same time.
Kill like yourself. While he was in college, he worked for,
he worked for a suicide hotline, which I thought was going to be his motive to like creep on girls, but it apparently wasn't.
Nope.
There was a lady that sat next to him named Anne Rule that wrote a book called The Stranger Beside Me.
Yeah.
And she said he seemed completely compassionate and helpful and said all the right things. And they constantly got good reviews about how helpful he was.
Yeah. He was like a morpher though. He like, he would just
he got good
transform.
Yelp reviews.
Yeah. 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 He did. 5 stars.
Yep. But so his MO, he would, for the most part, he would pretend he was injured. Like this was his thing. So a lot of times, like the witnesses, when someone went missing, they would say that they remembered seeing someone with a sling on their arm. They remembered seeing someone.
Oh, he had a cane,
an ankle or a wrist. Like he would like make
crutches.
Casts he did the and cast put them thing, on. Yeah. He would put on casts on his leg, get on crutches and like fumble around with a suitcase that he couldn't carry.
His big one was help me load my sailboat. with like cute girls or by the lake or the beach or something.
Yeah, that was that was the big one.
And an injured person seems harmless.
Right, exactly.
You know, makes sense.
And that was all sort of part of it.
And then, I guess he was good looking and charming on top of being injured. It seemed just like
you would, you wouldn't walk up to a tiger, but if it was injured, you know.
And you definitely don't walk up to it because it's in defense mode. Fuck you.
No,
up.
You help it.
It's, you can't help a tiger.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Got a thorn in its paw? You can't do it.
But if the tiger had a cast on and crutches and was fumbling with a suitcase.
I'm not fucking with a tiger.
I'd be like, oh, come on, tiger. Yeah. Let me help you out.
Let me help you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a dick. God. And I'm the arrogant bastard.
So he would, from what I read, he would go back to his, like once he killed him, he would usually rape them before he killed him. Or after he bludgeoned him, he would
if
have
the tiger had frosted flakes, I would help it. That's the only way.
That's great.
That's that, he
it's,
was.
It's Tony. Otherwise, you can't recognize him. It's their great. Not that's great.
No, I remember that's great.
You're going to make Mandela out of it?
Yeah. But he would have sex with their corpses, and apparently he would revisit where he put their body for several days and keep having sex with them
until the animals had eaten away at them or the decomposition had made it impossible for him to have sex with the corpse anymore.
Yeah.
Well, he
because the coyote ate the vag out. That's fucking disgusting.
Yes. Yes. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. I agree. Fucking horrible.
Wait, him fucking the dead bodies or the coyotes eating the vag?
All
that's pretty
above.
Gross.
Just the coyote. That's
all
disgusting.
All of the above.
Jeez.
But he would often, he would usually either feign injury or sometimes he would creep and then just break into a house and bludgeon someone to death.
That's how he did
both.
As long as they have good blinds though, if you got good blinds, that's what you have to have good
blinds are important.
I watched the movie.
Not the vertical ones though. I don't like the vertical ones.
You can't see through those.
Well, you know, you can get a straight shot at an angle, but I don't like, there's just something
straight
about
shot at an angle. Oh, the details, Brad, make me worry. No, the movie was actually pretty good. It didn't get good reviews, but it was pretty good. But yeah, not safe for children or work environments
what
or grandma.
Movie was?
Ted Bundy. There's a movie.
I watched the documentary with my kids.
I also watch a documentary.
With my kids.
Not watch that shit with your kids.
Yeah, I did.
No.
Yeah. They got to know what's out there.
Yeah.
It's real life.
Wow.
Yeah. It really happened. This is a fucking History Channel.
Well, this shit happened.
Yeah. This is why you don't get in strangers' cars, girls.
That's
look
right.
At, see her? She got her nipple ripped off. Yeah. That's what happens.
One of my little nephew, I think he's like 7 probably. He might be older. He's 7 or 8. But my daughter was talking to him about how's he doing in school and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, I'm having trouble in history. She's like 13 though. She's just having conversation. And she's like, yeah, I hate history. And he's like, no, I got it. Dinosaurs. And then the dinosaurs are gone. And then there was cavemen. And the cavemen were gone. And then today. So I got it. It's not that hard. That's history. I thought that was hilarious and adorable.
He skipped a couple. He forgot castle time.
It's brief. Yeah.
But yeah, he's getting there.
But for a 7-year-old or
not
old.
He didn't mention not safe to be black people time.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, there's just a couple things.
But that was close. He's getting there.
Right now it's not safe to be Mythican. So
that's right.
Mythican American.
But the example that you gave about the sailboat. So like there was one particular story where there was a woman named Janice Ott who was 23. She was at a beach and claimed that, and he showed up injured, claimed that his sailboat needed to get unloaded and loaded into his VW, and he had a sling on and needed help, et cetera. And, she ended up going with him to help, and then no one saw him again. There was another woman who was a 19-year-old who was at the same beach on the same exact day. She was at a picnic and she went to the bathroom and never came back.
They reenact that scene in the movie and it is fucking brutal. Yeah, because that's some creepy shack in the woods, the Wacken Hut. And he goes and gets the one girl, takes her to the shack. And then the girl's like fighting with her boyfriend, takes off to the bathroom. They set down their picnic basket. And he says, yeah, my sailboat's
picnic
actually.
Picnic basket?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, boo-boo.
And don't you mean whack and fuck? Because that's what he do to the girls.
He did whack and fuck.
Yeah.
So he brings the one chick wakes up like handcuffed to a pole, and there's another chick on the ground. She wakes up and takes off running. He chases her down, and when she falls in the dirt, there's a chick like doggy style bent over in the dirt, already dead, like several hundred feet from where they're
at. With this is, though, this is somebody else's recollection of what.
Well, it's matching what he said, though. Like,
well, but the thing is, I don't know how accurate any of it is, because even he said in one interview that they were killed separately. And then he said in another interview that he forced one of them to watch him kill the other one.
So in the movie, that story gets played out. He like beats the crap out of the one girl, rapes her while the other chick's handcuffed watching it happen. Then he picks up a stone, crushes her head, and the other girl's watching it all go down. And then he like,
shades of Bundy.
Yeah, he turns over and he's like, hey, you ready to party or something? Like,
when
was
this movie made?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
Because I know there was one like a long ass time ago where fucking Mark Harmon played him.
I don't know. The guy kind of looks like him. It's called Ted Bundy, and the guy looks like him.
That's pretty sexy. Yeah.
So no, it's not sexy. It's fucking horrible.
No, to each his own.
Yeah.
I'm shifting my focus from Brant becoming a serial killer to Brad.
Man's trash is another man's dead hooker.
Switching that over. So the woman that Brant mentioned earlier, his girlfriend for a while, was a woman, the Elizabeth Klopfer, a.k.a. you, Klopfer, you brought her.
That's a bumper sticker, like, for no reason.
Like, what the fuck is that word? Google it. It's in the dictionary now.
But
it'll just come up. It's 2002 was the movie I watched.
Oh, so it won't be that horrible then. Yeah.
So while he and Klopfer were dating, she, like, was calling the cops. And like being suspicious about, like, she was like, I think this is your guy. Like, right. I think my boyfriend is the fucking guy that's killing people. Cause at this point there was a pattern. Everybody knew about it, et cetera. But she told the police
do weird stuff. Wow. Like that too.
Wow. You know what Klopfer means? Mm-mm. In German? It means, to pound, bang, or hammer.
No way.
Yeah, I fucking swear to God.
What a weird, horrible coincidence.
I fucking swear to God. Klopfer Wikipedia. It's a German word derived from Middle High German Klopfen, meaning to pound, bang, or hammer.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, maybe that's why he didn't kill her. That's why he didn't Klopfer. He brought her.
My new sexual threat.
You want me to call for you?
She called the police and said that she couldn't explain things that were in his apartment and that she would bring to his house, including a set of crutches, a bag of plaster of Paris that he admitted stealing from a medical supply house, mm-hmm. a meat cleaver that he never used for cooking, that he packed when he moved to Utah, surgical gloves, an oriental knife in a wooden case that he kept in his glove compartment. Ooh. And a sack full of random women's clothing.
Yeah, the sack full of clothing.
Yeah, that's
how do you explain that to your girlfriend? Yeah, like, you could be like, I like knives, like, whatever. Some of that stuff you could explain away, but
and he was always in debt and he was always broke, but he always had really nice shit at the house, so she was expecting that he would steal.
He was a thief.
In the movie, they show him like stealing plants from hotels to furnish his house. He just like goes out to the TV store and grabs shit.
And like, and according to her, at one point
she knew he was a thief.
Yeah, though. And he confronted her and said, "Did you steal this stuff?" And apparently, according to her, she said, "If you tell anyone, I'll break your fucking neck."
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like, that's the,
and then I'll fuck you for like 3
that's
weeks.
That's the point where you break up. Yeah. Just ladies, when the guy says, "If you say this again, I'll break your fucking neck," that's a good time to leave.
Yeah, because if not, if you don't leave, then you're letting him break your fucking neck.
Right, get the fuck out.
That means you want it. You asked for it. It's your fault.
The thing that's creepy is that she had that haircut She had mm-hmm. the parted dark hair down the middle. Mm-hmm. And apparently several times she had mentioned that she wanted to cut her hair and change her hairstyle. And he would fucking wig out and say, you can't change your hairstyle, and get like almost yeah. violent about it because he wanted her to keep that haircut.
She had parted hair down there too.
Down there. And she would sometimes, she said she would wake up in the middle of the night and find him under the blankets with a flashlight examining her body.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I have no idea.
That's fun. You guys should try it.
Well, holy moly. Look at that.
Yeah. So
what? You found them all.
Holy moly.
But so she calls the cops three different times, talking to him in depth and saying, I think this might be your guy, which plays in later.
He was making her pretend like she's dead and have sex with her too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. That is fun. You know what game I have with my kids? Oh, this is not a sexual game in any way.
What a weird segue. What the fuck kind of segue is
that?
No,
that just reminded me. We played.
It reminded you how? Let me hear it, I guess. Sorry.
I'm trying to say the name of the game. We played the dead body game. It's where one person acts dead and you have to try and move them across the house. It's fun.
You just drag their dead body?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's usually me playing dead and having my kids try and drag me.
They cannot drag you, right?
They're pretty strong.
Really?
Can they do it?
Yeah. They move me. It's pretty impressive. My youngest one can grab the other one by the hair and drag her across the living room. And she's like twice the size.
The important question is, do you finish? Too much?
That was a line you just crossed there, sir.
My question was like,
hey man,
I was going to say,
I said it was not sexual in any.
I was going to say it's
the game ends if that's what you mean.
I just think it's a good lazy man's skill to build up.
Yeah.
Because now, like, you train them. So in a couple of years, no. Like, you just want to fix a hot pocket and you don't want to get off the couch. You're like, dead person game. And they drag you to the kitchen.
Yeah.
You fix the hot pocket. Yeah. Dead person game. They drag you back to the living room, put you on the couch, eat your hot pocket.
It's funny. You might think I'm joking, nonsense. But they love the game. Like, right. It's funny. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know how it got started. I don't remember, but yeah, it's a funny game.
Probably a documentary you were watching.
No, I don't think so. This was long before the podcast.
You realize how weird it sounded when we're like, speaking of dead wife fetishes, me and my kids play this game.
We're pretending she's dead. Pretending she's dead. Yeah. So
see how it all happened, but. Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with the whole situation.
I'm
including my joke.
No, your joke was.
Yeah, that was the most uncomfortable part of the whole.
I tried to go Brad, and I'm not going there. See, I'm not stepping up to Brad's level again. I'm uncomfortable.
You can forget you said that. I can't.
Oh shit!
I'm just gonna drink my memories away.
In 1975, he gets pulled over by a Utah Highway Patrol officer who observes him cruising a residential area in the pre-dawn hours, and he thought it was suspicious. And then he ends up like speeding off once he saw the patrol car. So this cop comes, pulls him over, and notes that it's suspicious.
He never fights the cops though when he gets caught. No. Like, he never tries to, like, he could fuck him up. He has like a pipe or a tire iron, handcuffs, an oriental knife in his toolbox. Right. That's
right. Well, most serial killers want to get caught.
You get an orange chicken.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So the cop notices that the front passenger seat's been removed.
Could have been copperly beef.
And this is the thing. He's driving a VW. So like the feat of him kidnapping those two women with the sailing hoax and getting them to some fucking whacking shed in a VW bug, that's
you got trunk space.
Fucking hard to do.
He impersonates a police officer space. And just says it's a civilian car. There's all kinds of things he pulls off of
undercover.
That.
Cover.
Yeah.
So, but in the car, the cop finds a ski mask, a pantyhose mask, a crowbar, handcuffs, trash bags, a bunch of rope, an ice pick, and a bunch of items that are just assumed to be, quote, burglary tools. Bundy explains that the ski mask is for skiing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He found the handcuffs in a dumpster.
Right.
And then the rest of it is just common household items.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the detective remembered the fact that Klopfer described this guy in a call to the police, like, because it was on the radar. It wasn't like she was ignored.
Yeah.
They paid attention, et cetera. So one of her phone calls tipped this guy off that this is kind of fucked up. So they end up arresting him and they go to his house and search it, but they can't find enough evidence to arrest him for any of the crime.
They put him in a lineup though, right?
That I didn't see.
That part's where they put them in the lineup and they finally get him.
The thing, because at this point they arrest him, they end up going back to the house, they find a guide to a Colorado ski resort where someone disappeared.
Ski mask, though.
He finds an advertisement for a high school play where a high school girl disappeared.
Have you ever seen anyone wearing one of those black ski masks really skiing? That's not like a bad guy on Lethal Weapon.
I've seen people in Michigan. I've seen plenty of people in those black ski masks, not skiing. If just they're white, it's cold as fuck.
Yeah, if they're white, they'll be wearing it just to ski.
Only if they're white.
Because when I was a kid, I had ski masks because we would go outside in Michigan and play in the winter.
And you robbed
me. I'm not lying. The fact is, I had to stop wearing them because they wouldn't fit over my giant orange afro.
That's awesome.
Because they didn't make afro ski masks. Yeah. And I couldn't.
I put one on at Floyd's and walked around, remember?
You did do that. I forgot about that.
They have them there. It's not my fault.
So they ended up finding all this stuff. They didn't find anything that they could hold him with. And then later, Bundy said that he had Polaroid photos of all of his victims in the house. The cops just didn't notice. And that after this, he burned them. But at this point, so the cops at this point have him under surveillance. They're like waiting for him. And I guess he ends up kidnapping someone. And that's what I think when they put him on the police.
He tried to kidnap someone and she got away.
She got away. She was one that got away.
Started whooping his ass because he said he was going to take her to the police station. And he starts driving off into the fucking mountains. And she's like, this is not the police station. And usually he'd be like, hey, look at that. And like whack her in the head with a fucking crowbar.
Right.
But he waited just too long and she starts fucking whooping his ass on the road. And she jumps out and gets in another car. Right.
Her name was Carol Durant. Mm-hmm. But so he ends up getting 1 to 15 year jail sentence. That's kind of a spread.
See how
it shakes out. But he gets 1 to 15 years for that crime. And while he's in jail for that, he gets indicted on murder charges for a Colorado woman. And he ends up acting as his own lawyer, which he did the whole time. But part of him acting as his, and this is where we get into the Ted Bundy shit that I didn't fucking know about. So he decides to become his own lawyer, not because he thinks he can win.
Wait. We didn't talk about the sorority house that he fucking.
No, this is way late. The sorority house is still later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No,
it's about what he's about to say. So he can go to the fucking courthouse library. Okay.
Right. Yeah. He says that he wants to become his own lawyer because he figures he can break out of the courthouse library.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they take him to the courthouse library. He fucking jumps out a window
and like hurts his fucking leg. Yeah. Like,
for
like
real.
Second story.
Like hurts himself, strips off
Good
his
thing
prison
he has a pair
clothes.
Of pairs of plaster with him. That's right. He made a quick cast, Bear Grylls style.
But he ditches his clothes. He heads into the woods. He starts breaking into cabins, living fucking Bear Grylls style, stealing clothes, hunting rifles, going cabin to cabin.
Fucking
he's in the woods
bodies.
For 8 days. And then I believe he gets pulled over again for driving erratically. And then they're like, oh, that's that motherfucker.
Was that or he's trying to break into a car or something? I don't know.
Something about a car. Yeah. But they end up busting him for – and then – And he goes back to prison and they start racking up more charges against him, more than just the jailbreak, but they're starting to check out other murders. And then so that in June of 77, he breaks out of the courthouse library. In December of 77, on the 30th, right, the day before New Year's Eve, the jail that he's at is like a joke, apparently, because on December 30th, all of the nonviolent criminals were given furloughs to go home for the holidays.
Right.
Most of the staff was off because it was December 30th.
Yeah, skeleton crew.
So skeleton crew, most of the prisoners are gone, most of et cetera, but he's not obviously gone because he's a fucking murderer. But
well, they don't know that yet. You're guilty until innocent until proven guilty.
Right. That's true. But he was a kidnapper.
But he did already escape.
He did already escape.
He wasn't a
risk.
But Houdini wasn't a criminal.
That's true. And he escaped a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to be fair.
Yeah. But anyway, apparently he discovered some way that he could slip out through ceiling tiles in his cell, which makes me question.
He watched the Breakfast Club.
Where was he at? Yeah. Was he at a fucking office?
Breakfast Club. He and the jock and the goth girl all broke out of jail at the same time.
Jesus Christ. Where were they at?
But so apparently, and again, it wasn't just like a fly-by-night plan. Like, he apparently had to lose 30 pounds. He was like fasting and getting skinny because he knew he had to lose a ton of weight to fit through this really small crawl space that he discovered. So he lost 30 pounds, and then he knew that everybody was going to be gone for the holidays. He sneaks out through the top. He piles a bunch of books and legal files in his bed, covers them in a blanket so it looks like there's somebody sleeping in the bed, that whole trick.
Right.
But apparently he sneaks up into the apartment of the chief jailer, because apparently someone lived in the jail 24/7, but was out with his wife because it was the holidays. So he got into his apartment, changed into some of that guy's clothes, and just fucking walked out of the prison.
Wow.
Just like walked on out. So two jailbreaks for Ted Bundy. I knew nothing about any of that shit. So,
and it creates hysteria because now that motherfucker's out again, though. Because at that point, they did kind of know he had killed people.
Right.
I bet his girlfriend was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's out. And they're like, oh, thank God they caught him. Oh, fuck, he's out. Like,
right. Yeah. Right. So he ends up getting a ride into another town 60 miles away. He catches a bus to Denver. He gets on a flight to Chicago. Don't ask me where he's getting the fucking money for all this shit. Fucking stealing things, obviously.
He has some sugger mamas and stuff. Chicks were digging
at
him.
At this point,
I think so. Not his ex-girlfriend. Oh, he was stealing credit cards. That's right. Because in the one part of it, I mean, he's killing all these people. They have credit cards and shit. They have money in their wallets. I mean, at one point, he bludgeoned some woman walking in the street just to take her watch to give it to his girlfriend as a gift.
Fuck.
Yeah. He just has no remorse.
No. He's a true psychopath.
So he probably when he stole whatever he stole, he probably got money that way. But at some point, he says he blamed, you know, TV and pornography and violence.
Bullshit.
Something about,
he was a killer.
Yeah, well, even on stealing credit cards, he scapegoats something else.
Right. So he ends up breaking out. The cops don't realize he's gone until noon the next day, which gives him a 17-hour head start.
He blamed television programming for stealing credit cards. That's what it was. I saw.
So he's in Chicago by the time the guards discover that he's not in his cell anymore.
Yeah. Long
he's
gone.
Making his way to Florida. So he gets all the way to Florida and ultimately could have just fucking got away.
Yeah.
If he wanted to fucking go to Cuba, if he wanted to peace out, he could have. But in Florida, he made a slight detour.
He can't resist that.
But he ends up going into a sorority house on January 14th, 19. I mean, he's been out of jail for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, who can resist a sorority party?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean,
at least in the movie, they had pillow fights in their panties. I mean,
no, that's true.
I'm sure they did. I'm pretty sure that's all they ever.
That's all they ever do in sororities.
Pillow fights in their panties.
That's what always happens. So on January 14th, he breaks into the Chi Omega sorority house at Florida State University. There's four people in there at the time. He kills two of them and gets out, like just pieces out. And then on February 9th, he kidnaps and murders a 12-year-old girl.
I think on that one, he killed two and like beat the fuck out of two or four more.
Yeah,
he went from like room to room to room.
He fucked up six of them.
Yeah, he killed two in a room.
Oh, he killed two and fucked up six. He beat four and killed two. Okay.
Yeah.
And
banged them all. Like it was.
Yeah, he raped them.
Yeah.
He killed two of them and raped all of them.
Just fucking gnarly as fuck.
That's before Viagra, too. He was eating
this guy was on
Chinese root.
He was on some test. He was like really fucking horny. That's what he blamed it on.
He had Blue Thunder with Yohimbe. he was
like, why is there shit all over the walls?
So he gets convicted. He gets busted again, and then he gets convicted for the two murders here. And I guess the evidence that really did him away was bite marks on the bodies because he was biting them while he was raping them, and they were able to match the dental patterns.
He was doing some stamp in the woods type shit. Like he was biting off nipples and fucking just
gnarly as fuck.
He was, you know, you always hear about Ted Bundy and the classic serial killer and all this shit, but until you go and do a little bit of research on him, I didn't know half this shit.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, he was fucking brutal.
And he kind of isn't the classic. He kind of he's a little bit sloppy. He's a little like, I don't know. He doesn't take all the shit.
It's because it was before DNA evidence and DNA profiling. Yeah. All you really had to do, like, even if you left your hair, it doesn't fucking matter. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless the teeth marks match up. Literally, you had to have physical evidence like that. So
I almost think he wanted to get caught.
Even
on some
bleeding,
level,
they would just be like, oh, you're type A blood.
Right.
So are a lot of people.
Yeah, so yeah.
You had to really fucking get caught. He was sloppy as fuck.
But then he did this crazy legal fight, and he was doing every legal maneuver he could to just keep delaying shit. He knew he was going to get the chair because he got busted in Florida. He got arrested for those Florida murders. Florida had the death penalty. So all he kept doing was every little loophole legal thing he could think of. He tried to take it to the Supreme Court, which he didn't get there, but he kept taking it to higher and higher courts just to keep delaying.
He was offering to say he could help with other criminal profiling.
And he actually did. He did help solve the Green River murder. He didn't help solve it. In the end, but he helped work on to develop a profile for the Green River Killer. Right. But
if I was going to bite a nipple, I'd do it in the forest.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But as part of his court case, and this is fucking weird, because again, he was really smart and he studied law. He even went to grad school and studied law for about a year before he started killing everybody and fucking got all super wackadoo. But he discovered an obscure. Did you guys read about how he got married?
No.
It's fucking weird. So there's a law in Florida that says if you propose to someone and they accept your proposal in the presence of a judge during a legal proceeding, you are legally married.
Oh, shit.
So one of his crazy fangirls who was there as a character witness to testify how great a guy he was, while she was on the stand, he screams out, "Will you marry me?" She says yes, and now they're legally married.
Fucking A.
Because it was in front of a sitting judge.
That's crazy.
It's fucking crazy.
That's how stupid Florida is.
And this is the woman he was banging by the Skittles machine because he actually got her pregnant in a prison that had no conjugal visit. He gets
so Ted Bundy's baby's out there.
Yeah, he has a daughter. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And she's like a full-on adult by now. She would have been born in 79.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. 79 or 80.
I'm sure she's doing fine.
Yeah, I'm sure all is well. Yeah. With a Ted Bundy groupie mom.
Probably named her Terry.
So he ends up stringing things along long enough that he stays alive for about 10 more years in prison. On January 24th, 1989, at Rayford Prison in Stark, Florida, he's put to death at about 7:15 a.m. in an electric chair that the prison guards referred to lovingly as Old Sparky. That is so fucked up.
Dude, the scene from at least the movie, man, when they reenact it is horrifying. So many little things that they don't normally show, they showed in there. Apparently, they stuff your butthole with cotton balls and gauze, like, and lube so that you don't shit everywhere. And then they put a diaper on you. But they literally show the scene of one cop putting on the rubber gloves so he could flip them off before he put stuff up his butt. Because that's what you do with rubber gloves.
That's right.
So, and he's just shoving cotton balls up his ass with two fingers and then gauze and cotton balls while he's screaming and they're shaving his head. And then they put diapers on him and then fucking put him on the chair. It was gnarly. I was like, damn, I thought it was like the long, sad walk down the hallway. You sit down and get shocked. But that shit was fucking horrifying. There was no mellow, like calm before the storm of death. It was like you get butt raped with two fingers and a bag of cotton balls and gauze. Yeah.
Oh,
and the guards were just talking shit. I mean, I don't know how they were down. The executioner, apparently I couldn't understand what they said. Somebody paid $150 to either watch the execution or push the button or some shit.
Yeah. There were people in there that weren't supposed to
like
be
just a normal person that like fucking wanted to see it or something. Somehow paid $150 to watch it or somehow participated. The wording was weird. I can't remember.
There was a fucking mob outside of the prison that
I saw real footage of them. Like,
they were mad. Yeah.
They like lit fireworks off once the announcement came out on the radio excited. That he was dead. They set off fireworks to celebrate Ted Bundy's death. And apparently there's a whole story about some shitty, like, wannabe white Oprah with a daytime talk show in Seattle ended up like getting an interview with one of Ted Bundy's victims.
White Oprah
on the,
it wasn't Sally Jesse.
No, some nobody, like just in Seattle only. All it wasn't right. syndicated or anything, but she wrote this article that I read, and she was talking about the fact that like she was supposed to interview for her afternoon show one of the victims of Ted Bundy's one of the mothers of the victims of Ted Bundy on the day that Ted Bundy was put to death. And at the last minute, she decided that she felt really bad for the mother. And like, she has this bizarre article about the fact that in the first thing in the morning, she drove to where Ted Bundy's mother was and like knocked on the door and was going to like ask her questions. And like, she just like broke, like the reporter just broke down and started bawling. As soon as she saw Ted Bundy's mother, cause she just realized that's just this frail old woman who thought her son was innocent. And then like, she sits down and has fucking tea with Ted Bundy's mother the morning that Ted Bundy is killed, like 3 hours after the death.
Hmm.
Just very bizarre.
It's cause they didn't kill him.
Oh no. What'd they do with him?
They let him go. Witness protection. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
I don't think it's a possibility.
He actually played Al Bundy later.
He did? Yeah. Little known fact.
Looks just like
fact. Yeah. So yeah, he got.
And now he's on Modern Family. Like, he's doing really well.
He's doing really well now. But the, again, it's like we've talked about other serial killers in the past and where like everyone buys all of their shit to destroy it because they're offended. And again, this was an example of why they do that, because a museum ended up buying his VW from the police impound, and they put it on display for years at like some kind of serial killer museum or something. So and I was like, oh, that's why everyone buys serial killer houses or fucking burns them to the ground or fucking whatever, because all the vultures want to fucking make money on their death.
But this really gives you an overview of like how crazy people are, you know, like the and I'm not saying like I think being fascinated by I'm definitely fascinated by serial killers. Like, there's something about it that's like what the fuck, like how, that's crazy, like how could somebody do that? But then there's people out there that are in love with that shit.
Like, and the whole time,
they get excited
and
by it.
I know that when Oliver Stone did the movie Natural Born Killers, he was largely influenced by the Ted Bundy case more than most others.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand why until I saw this, because there were groupies who loved him and thought he was awesome for what he did. The breakouts that he was doing, you know, because they kind of break out in the movie. And then even at one point on the soundtrack, there's like this quote, because I used to listen to the soundtrack quite a bit because it's actually dope. But there's a quote in the middle of the soundtrack. I had no idea what it was from until I was doing this research, because it's actually in a Nine Inch Nails song on the soundtrack. And he says, I'll tell you, as long as they attempt to keep their heads in the sand about me, there's going to be people turning up in canyons, and there's going to be people being shot in Salt Lake City, because the police aren't willing to accept what I think they know. And they know that I didn't do these things. And like, it was the exact quote that's in the middle of the song. But I mean, the sensationalism of death and the people who idolize it and the people who protest against it and the fucking media fascination. I mean, all of that is kind of what led to Natural Born Killers. And once I was studying the Ted Bundy case, I really understood it. And Natural Born Killers is also famous because that's where the Rodney Dangerfields can be seen.
Yeah.
The show, someone's Rodney Dangerfields, or
Rodney Dangerfields. Like at one point,
he's Rodney Dangerfields.
In one very famous scene in
Rodney's,
the film, which is turned
Rodney's
into a
Dangerfields.
Right, it's a really horrible scene because it's filmed like it's a sitcom and there's a laugh track, but it's like an abusive father who rapes his daughter, and like every time he beats somebody, like everyone's laughing with the laugh track, and Rodney Dangerfield is the one playing him, and he's wearing gym shorts, and in one shot when he's sitting there, you can see his Dangerfields hanging out of his gym shorts, And it was an accident. It wasn't like prosthetic Dangerfields.
They just left it in there.
They
really?
Just left it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want to see Dangerfields.
No, Brent's going to watch it.
Just
for sure.
Get ready to pause Natural Born Killers, and you'll get a good look at the Dangerfields.
I never went through that. So
yeah, we'll do that next time.
Of course you didn't. I don't know. We have a list.
I was distracted. Yeah, but not anything that would be worthy of what they deserve. So we'll have to do it next time.
They don't really deserve anything.
Deserve a lot, sir. Say.
They don't do shit.
No one knows what we're talking about. Someone knows what we're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
All right. Sponsors? Is it sponsor time?
Are we going to announce anything or no?
Yeah, we can. We'll announce it after the sponsor, so you have to try to.
Nice.
We have to try to fast forward through this shit.
We have a big announcement. Yeah.
Brad's bad. Leaving. So thank you to LU Cateco Hot Sauce.
He just left right now.
Yeah, there he went. Click.
Bye.
Later, dude. It's been cool. Thank you to LU Cateco Hot Sauce. You can find it at Walmart, Target, most major grocery stores. Is that Brad peeling out outside? Yeah. What a dick. You don't have to leave like that after all this. So you can get it online at Amazon.com, eBay. You can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk if you're not in the United States. If you try all those fucking things and you can't find it, you can message me. But otherwise, don't fucking message me on where to get that shit because you could find it in one of those places. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can get printed goods there, stickers, fake tattoos, banners, all kinds of crazy shit. Go to printdirtcheap.com and use code SOFAKING to save some money. Thank you to Daily Own Graphics with an X for our t-shirts and koozies and silkscreened goods. You can find him at Daily Own Graphics with an X on Facebook and on Instagram if you need goods like that. Thank you to Digital Creations for our heat pressed items like coffee mugs that are available in our web store. And thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu at armhunter.com. You can buy his apparel and instructional DVDs. And on that note, Brad has a big announcement. He's leaving. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he just came by. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey. Yeah, that was quick. How'd you peel out like that?
I fell asleep. Yeah.
At the wheel, apparently.
Boring ass. No, I was listening to you.
No, I mean, you can do sponsors.
So I don't want to just not do sponsors. I told you I don't want sponsors.
So what's our big announcement?
I don't know. Why is it a big announcement?
Because you called it that right before the sponsor thing?
I didn't. I said, are we going to make any announcements?
You said big. I specifically remember you saying big.
Everything you hear is big.
Yeah.
Big wolf.
That was funny.
Oh, so, anyway, had messages, I've seen things, we've been talking about it for a long time. So we are going to be releasing some new merchandise. Everybody who hashtagged fuck Brad will not be allowed to order. I've already went through,
we found a way to block them, but that's,
well, I've already went through and have a list of names of people that I just don't like.
It's a big list.
Yeah. So
once again, big,
yeah, yeah. It's a big, big list. So, so we do have a new shirt. I have one sitting right here, and it's designed by CC Cess.
I always say CC, it's Cess. Yeah, but it's Elixir Clothing.
I don't acknowledge E's. So,
we did a collaboration. One of our actual fans designed a shirt, and we made that shirt.
Yeah,
so,
it's awesome.
We're going to be doing it on a pre-order basis. Me, Brad, and Dave all have them, and you don't right now. So we'll post pictures.
So
we won't be wearing
you.
Pants, but we're only taking the picture from the top up.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Might, so we do have some danger new shirt. Actually, we have a few new shirt designs, but this one we have actually some printed. So, but yeah, it will be a pre-order. So we're going to do a pre-order on it. And once it's gone, the pre-order is over, it's over, and that's going to be it. We'll do another one. We have
whiskey glasses and decanters.
Yep.
And coasters and
slate coasters.
So awesome. Those are going to be, they're on a limited stock and then pre-order. So we just got to see how it goes, but, it doesn't take that long to get them. It's like 5 to 10 days. So we have some in stock.
Yeah, we do have some in stock, but they're a higher end item. They're really nice. I don't know how to say the name. Somebody was asking about etched glass.
And I gave him it was Terry Vard. Okay. Yeah, and I responded and messaged him. Yeah. What?
No, it was on Facebook, not on Messenger. It wasn't a message. It was a post.
I know. And then I messaged him in regards to that.
I said it already. I posted on there.
Guys,
you could post all you want, but I had a conversation with him. So
I don't care about your conversations.
I didn't.
I know Dave didn't. They wasn't involved.
I didn't do any of it. I didn't have a conversation.
You did a good job, Dave.
Thank you.
Brent, you can fuck yourself.
But I will say, if you're a patron listener and you're listening to this on Monday, shit's not up yet. Be patient.
Yeah.
If you're a peasant.
Well, yeah, we're just letting you guys know. We're
giving Tuesday. Yeah. Probably still not up yet. We're just letting you know.
Yeah.
This week we're going to end up launching it. As soon as we do, it'll be on our Facebook. It'll be on the unofficial fan page.
Yeah. We have to work out the pre-order logistics, but it will happen.
Yeah. We've got to get it on the website and stuff, but
we're kind of committed.
Yeah. Unless, we're committed now.
Unless we get Brad to go back and delete it. Like,
see, and this is why, I have to do this, because if we don't commit, we won't do it. So we got to commit. So get it done. So yeah.
Love,
so there will be,
fit, we won't commit.
Yeah, that's right. That's OJ quote.
Yep.
yeah, so just want to let you guys know that that's coming. And
really
I think
punched
that's it, right?
Coming.
Yeah. I was thinking of Ted Bundy when I was saying coming too.
He really punched it.
yeah. That's it.
All right.
So nothing else special. We do have a patron list that Brent was supposed to go through during the show, he said, which I knew that wasn't going to happen. And so Friday's episode, all the new patrons.
All the
members,
love. All the new, love.
All the big, yeah. All the big patrons.
Yep.
Follow us on social media, Facebook or Instagram at Sophie King Podcast, like us, at Sophie King Dave, like at Sophie King Brad, at Sophie King Brent, on Twitter at Sophie King Podcast. We do have a web store, SophieKingPodcast.com.
Yep.
And what else? Our patron. /.
Sophie King Podcast.
And what else?
Pretty much, if you search Sophie King Podcast and you can't find us, don't be a retard.
Trump was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy.
Threw her in the
trunk. Was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass. And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy. 2K11 riding solo, in the Benz on twins, hella low pro, slinging CDs out the trunk for Modo. My mojo said a thick bitch, so I go slow. I pull it over trying to get up on her bumper, wanting to crunch her, so I say, baby, my new CD is a slumper. It'll make the trunk thunder, girl, your rump give me lumber. Up under the sheets, I can put you in a real deep slumber.
She said, fuck tech, and Nina didn't feel her. Did everything within my power not to kill her. Disrespectful bitch, I really wish that I can grill her. Light in my head, it said, put her in the trunk, man, you can steal her.
I put the hater bitch in a headlock, she flipping out. I popped the trunk, she crunk, but I ain't about to chicken out. I'm sick and tired of being nice and letting shit go by. She said, fuck that Tech 9 bullshit, so I
threw her in the trunk.
Was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass
in the trunk.
And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy.
Threw her in the trunk.
Was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass
in the trunk.
And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy. I'm bumping everything that beat like gangsta shap. I bangs the rap in her ear till she gives thanks to that. Never take a prisoner where you hang your hat. I'ma roll around with her inner trunk, pumping that tech, not slump to the little bitch fank collapse. I'ma roll to Topeka, Tech and Nina Aricha. If I gotta double back to Eureka, crispy flows through my tweeters. Bumping this ring when I roll through with Tita. Wait a minute, I think this bitch is trying to kick a hole through my speakers. Give my gun, then I open the trunk and said,
get out the goddamn trunk, get on the ground, take off the goddamn belt, put it around your ankles, I'ma tie up your wrist myself. I just wanted to drink and show you what the dong to do. Bitch, the hell wrong with you?
Hey. The hot sex was not slam dunked. Rode for hours, then I stopped right off Van Brunt. When a bitch talking crazy like a lost man's chump, she'll say,
put the bitch in the goddamn trunk.
Threw her in the trunk.
Was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass
in the trunk.
And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy.
Threw her in the trunk.
Was trying to smash, get her cash, but her mouth was hella fast, so I threw her ass
in the trunk.
And even though she had a big plump rump, I threw her in and let the beat bump.
Threw her in the trunk,
ayy. Hours turned to days, days turned to weeks. Had to drill holes in the trunk so she can drink and eat. Whatever I stuffed through the holes, hot dogs and ho-hos. Kidnapped on a lolo, spoke no more. Oh no, go slow to the popo. I gotta ditch this bitch with the quickness. Man, I just remember this benzo was lifted from Soul Park, that's where I'm about to go dart. Let her know art for the evil bitch and the brainless witch with no heart. It got so dark.
Police are still looking for 21-year-old Crystal Nelson, who has been missing since last Sunday. Friends and family told police that they thought this was yet another one of Crystal's weekend excursions, but after all this time, they're still worried sick.
It's been fun, mama. Fed her my catalog like Adderall. Fucked up in the trunk with rump is how I had her, y'all, in a ditch. Walked back to the trunk, wicked is how I sounded. Whispered, bet that you love Tech 9 now, bitch.
Threw her in the trunk.
I think I found the missing Mercedes here in Swope Park, in a ditch near Shelter 5. It appears the car is still running, music playing. I'm approaching the car now. Let me turn down the music.
I'm just going to set my
female in the truck. She's tied up and appears to be delirious. This could be the girl that's missing from last week.
6, 6, 6, 9, 6, 6, 9. Threw her in the trunk.
Strange music.